This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource of pilots and aircraft owners.
This is Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. We're with Ray Adams. He's the National Air Traffic Controllers Association rep for Newark, and he's been assigned to handle the media relations for all the controllers involved in the Hudson River collision last weekend. Ray, there's one particular controller's actions that are the focus of pretty much everybody's attention in this. Can you explain what NATCA's perspective is on what happened that day and this controller's role in all of that?
Sure, Russ. NATCA has an issue with the NTSB's most recent update that came out, I believe, on Friday. The update was inaccurate, as it stated that at the time the Teterboro controller was working the PA-32 toward the Hudson River, and prior to transfer of communication, the NTSB indicates that the accident helicopter was depicted on his radar scope, and he could have called a traffic advisory to that aircraft. That's simply untrue. And I've seen the radar data myself in the presence of the NTSB multiple times. I'm a controller at Newark Airport. I've been a controller for 19 years at four different facilities, radar and tower. And I can tell you, if I was sitting in that controller's shoes, there's no possible way that I could have seen it either, the helicopter that departed the West 30th Street that actually collided with the PA-32. It was simply not depicted on the controller's scope prior to the time he transferred control and communications over to Newark Airport.
So did it ascend up into radar coverage? Like, did it it was on its way, but it hadn't made it there yet?
It appears, according to the NTSB's own tapes and own report, that the Teterboro Air Traffic Controller transferred communications to Newark Tower a full 7 seconds prior to the first target acquisition by the radar processor on the helicopter that departed West 30th Street. It indicates that the helicopter was leaving 400 feet upon the first hit, which is pretty typical for the radar system in that area.
Okay, so let's take you inside this controller's head. He's handed off to Newark, so he's no longer concerned with that PA-32. Is that correct? He's turning to other things?
That is correct. The controller was occupied with a few other things, as was the Newark controller. The Teterboro controller was handed the aircraft off to Newark, and the aircraft had requested 3,500 feet. Typically, the Newark controller would have climbed that aircraft to as high as 2,000, which is still his airspace, and then eventually handed the aircraft off to the New York TRACON, LaGuardia Empire sector a little further south, or climb higher once it got clear of the traffic for the four airports, the inbound air carrier traffic for the four airports in New Jersey and New York.
Okay, well, one of the big deals that's being made is that the controller in Newark was on the phone with someone when all of this happened. Can you explain what influence those actions may have had on the outcome of this?
No, I think the way it was stated was the Teterboro controller was on a phone call, what was stated as a non-business phone call by the NTSB. And that's not a disputed fact. The fact is that that phone call had no bearing on the controller's working ability. He managed his tasks as required, even though he was on the phone call. There is no nexus between the phone call and the accident that has been borne out in any part of this NTSB investigation. That's our concern. We just want the NTSB to clarify the fact that the Teterboro controller did not have any opportunity to separate the Piper and the helicopter. Our separation in air traffic control is based on known and observed traffic, or known or observed traffic. He neither had any knowledge of or observation of the helicopter that departed and actually collided with the Piper.
Now, the FAA is backing you up on this. Why do you think the NTSB is apparently digging in its heels on this?
We believe it was just a simple miscommunication. We don't think there was any kind of malicious action on the part of the NTSB. They are a group of professionals, And I met with their air traffic investigators myself, and I found them to be very professional and very knowledgeable. We believe it's a simple miscommunication between their ATC staff and their public relations staff, and whoever wrote the report wrote it erroneously. What we're asking them to do is to just take ownership of that and rescind the four simple words that indicate that the helicopter was on the scope. And I believe they were including the accident helicopter, I think is what it says in the report. Those four simple words change the entire perspective of that report and implicate the Teterboro controller in the accident. That is completely wrong. We just want to remove it.
Okay. Have you asked the NTSB formally for that correction?
We have. We've asked them through our channels, our people that were on the team and the people that actually work with the NTSB that are appointed at the NAC national level. And we believed we had the language changed. And unfortunately, the ATC investigative staff was overridden by the national, I guess you'd call it the executive level staff at NTSB. It sounds to me like a political move more than an actual operational or any other kind of move. It seems just like public relations. They don't want to own up to their mistake.
All right. Well, we'll be watching this carefully over the next couple of days. Thanks very much for your time today, Ray. Russ Niles reporting for AvWeb. Thanks for listening.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine. For more information on Aviation Consumer, log on to www.aviationconsumer.com.